This is Logan Sekulow with breaking news. Ex-FBI lawyer expected to plead guilty in Durham investigation. That and more coming up.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110. And now your host, Logan Sekulow.
Welcome to the one and only flag waving, God praising, trail blazing, heck raising radio show. It's Logan Sekulow reprogram, final day of the takeover. Well,
that's right.
And we come out with some breaking news.
We've gotten breaking news each of these days.
We prep whole shows.
Great. Yeah.
We prep whole shows and then we throw them out. But don't worry, this is not all we're going to talk about because this is big news. But this is like, you know, they're showing it on the news in rotation. This
That's
is
right.
not the only story.
It did just come out when we went live, so
yeah, but
they're just getting to
on
it.
On Fox, we have a monitor in here. They went to it, and now they're moving away from it. So we're going to talk about it. Well, and that's that an ex-FBI lawyer, someone we've talked about quite a bit here, he said he's going to plead guilty. It was big news. It was kind of rumored it was going to come out. Something
That's
was going
right.
to come out.
Last night on the Sean Hannity show on Fox, the Attorney General,
Hannity.
Bill Barr, he made a statement that there is going to be a development in the Durham investigation today. And so people are like, well, what's that going to be? Is it going to be at the end of the day? He said it's not earth-shattering, but it's going to indicate that things are moving along at the proper pace.
Yep.
So it's also an indication that whatever was going to come out today wasn't the end of the investigation, that it's just showing that things are moving along. Now, this is what just broke right before we went on air, that Kevin Kleinsmith, he's a former FBI lawyer. He was assigned to the Russia investigation. And we've talked about him a lot of times on this broadcast because he's the guy that altered an email from the CIA
yep.
that was saying they had had contact with Carter Page and used his information. He altered that to say that he was not a source for the CIA and then used that email in a FISA filing and signed off on that. And it helped get a reapplication, a reauthorization of a FISA warrant against Carter Page.
The end goal of all this, the whole investigation and all of this, is to show that there was some sort of, you know, conspiracy against the president and against the whole, their whole, you know, the whole administration, what was going on at the time, that this was something that was not on accident or
right.
not a few issues here and there. And when these admissions happen, there's some proof to it.
And this is the first action out of the public action rather
yep.
out of the Durham investigation that Kevin Kleinsmith is expected to plead guilty to one count of a felony false statement. And what it also could be an indication of is that potentially if he's making this plea deal, it's one count. Is he working and
right.
cooperating with investigators
Are
about
the dominoes about
other
to fall?
Things?
Are the dominoes
right.
about to fall? And I think likely that's what's coming. I think that's what was inferred yesterday, and I think that's what we're seeing step one here. So, you know, good job, everybody. And I think this is important. I think we need to talk about it. It's not the only thing we're going to talk about. Like I said, it's not necessarily earth-shattering news, but it should be for those of you guys who have been watching this show and listening to this show each and every day. You know these names. You know these words. We're going to make sure we cover it. I want to hear your point of view, your thoughts. Give me a call, 1-800-684-3110. We just opened up the line. So that's at 1-800-684-3110. Again, if you're just joining in, because thousands of people have just joined in, as the headline suggests on Facebook or however you're watching this show, if you're listening to the million people that listen or more live, again, ex-FBI lawyer, Kevin Kleinsmith, 38 years old, has pled guilty or will plead guilty in the Durham investigation for some tampering. I don't know what the proper word is.
False statement
false
is what, what's being reported that he'll
yeah.
plead to.
Editing some emails, doing some interesting things there. Hey, again, give us a call, 1-800-684-3110. We're going to talk about that. We're also going to talk about, look, there's been a lot of buzz going on. I'm sure you've looked at social media about what's happening in the presidential election and Kamala Harris. We did a whole show about it. There has been an interesting swerve among social media, and I think it's a ridiculous one and one that is a waste of your time and you're buying in to the media nonsense. You're going to lose in this if this is the reasons that you have, that you feel strongly in this situation. We're going to talk about that and more on the reprogram in just a minute.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
This is Logan Sekulow sitting in for my dad. This is the Logan Sekulow Reprogram, a show that we do each and every day. You know what? There's like 9,000 of you just watching live right now on Facebook. There's like a million listening on radio. For those on Facebook, here's what I want you to do. You're going to like the kind of show we do. It's a little more fun, a little bit more hard edge. I think you're going to enjoy it. You can get it a couple different ways. Find us on our podcast. That's right. You can find us on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. But you know what's more fun is to watch us each and every day on YouTube. That's at youtube.com/Logan Sekulow. Reprogram, you'll see, and just subscribe, hit the notification bell. It'll tell you whenever we put up a new show, which is usually every afternoon. Okay, you're gonna enjoy it, but I'm gonna tell you, whenever I have 10,000 people, you know, I know that you're watching right now. I'm right now in the palm of your hand, probably. This is what I'm saying. Go do that for me. I appreciate it. We're gonna take a lot of calls on this topic. I know a lot of you have questions or comments. More than maybe expected, than I expected. So we will get into Kamala Harris a little bit later, but let's start, Will, with what's happening right now, and maybe we need to hear from the man, the myth himself, Attorney General Barr.
Yeah, so last night, Attorney General Barr went on Hannity on Fox News and kind of previewed that something was coming today. We didn't know what. The speculation was wild on Twitter and on the internet of what it could be.
Yeah.
But he previewed it last night, and let's take a look, because he's a man who chooses his words very carefully, and I like what he has to say. I always listen when the Attorney General speaks.
Have a look.
So let's listen to Bite 3.
John Durham is an independent man, highly experienced, and his investigation is pursuing apace. There was some delay because of COVID, but I'm satisfied with the progress. And I've said there are going to be developments, significant developments, before the election, but we're not doing this on the election schedule. We're aware of the election. We're not going to do anything inappropriate before the election, but we're not being dictated to by this schedule. What's dictating the timing of this are developments in the case. And there will be developments. Is tomorrow there will be a development in the case. It's not an earth-shattering development, but it is an indication that things are moving along at the proper pace as dictated by the facts in this investigation.
You got to enjoy that. Enjoy that from our Attorney General. Bill Barr. I like it, the way his cadence, it makes it easy to understand, and hopefully we do the same for you guys here too. You know, I think he speaks to the every person. I really enjoy, again, that comment. I think it's He undersold it, though, as you said, Will.
Yeah.
And maybe that's a good thing, because you never know. Look, it's not the number one story necessarily right now on the news. Like, right now, we didn't break everyone break into it. But for you guys who are watching and listening, I know this is a big deal, because what this says is that, yes, it was a story that we all knew about. Yeah, I think it was reported. How long ago was the original?
So the information that Kevin Kleinsmith had altered the email. We got information about that back in December of 2019.
Washington Examiner, even article that you guys passed me from December 9th of 2019.
And that's when his name was revealed. But, you know, a lot of this came out from the Inspector General, his report on the investigation, which some people were like, oh, man, nothing came of that. Nothing came of that, except for he did uncover a lot. And then Attorney General Barr took in the Inspector General Horowitz report and tasked U.S. Attorney Durham to start looking into these things. And now we're seeing these
results.
He says it's not an earth-shattering development, which to some degree, yes, this didn't change the course of everything. It's something that people that have been following this knew happened and were wondering when something was going to come out of there, because you can't really just falsify a document and submit that to court. But I think it also tells us, and if you read his words carefully, it's an indication that things are moving along at a proper pace. So he's telling us this isn't over. It's not earth-shattering. It's the end of it. This is a development. It maybe tells us that if there's a plea deal involved, a lot of times people take plea deals because they're cooperating with the investigators.
Let's take a phone call. I want to go to Thomas in New York, line one. Because this is kind of a question, Thomas, we get a lot. But, for once, we have an answer. So, Thomas, go ahead. What's your question?
Yes, my question is this. I think the American public, especially the conservative public, is sick and tired of all of this nonsense going on with these treasonous people, such as Comey and Strzok and Page and Clapper and all these people. When is the Attorney General and his assistant prosecutor Durham going to indict people?
Well,
today,
Thomas, it's happening right now, which is great. I mean, I think you're right in asking that question, because people bring that up all the time, which is, it seems like, and look, I have very little faith in these things happening often. You know, I always flash back to that moment where they read off the list of everything that Hillary Clinton had done wrong, and then said, but
James Comey.
James Comey,
right.
Yeah, nothing we could do. I always, that was like the moment, if you want to say, Logan, where's the moment you lost faith in your government, in, you know, people protecting your rights and actually doing something? That was the moment, because that was the moment where everything sort of unraveled for me, which was that you just gave me 20 minutes why this person should have criminal charges and should not be able to become the president. And then you just said, nothing. And then obviously it flip-flops a few years later because it's suddenly a conservative. But Thomas, progress is happening. This is a big deal.
And I think to also maybe reassure you, Thomas, when the Attorney General testified before Congress, I believe it was just last week or maybe 2 weeks ago, but Representative Tom McClintock asked the Attorney General basically like, listen, the same question Thomas is asking. When are we going to see some results about this? And here's what the Attorney General had to say in response to that. And I think it tells us a little bit more about what he said last night when you hear it. Play Bite 31.
Are you going to be able to right this wrong before it becomes a precedent for future election interference by corrupt officials in our justice and intelligence agencies?
You know, I really can't predict that. I think, as you know, John Durham is looking at all these matters. COVID did delay that action for a while, but he's working very diligently. And, you know, justice is not something you order up on a schedule like you're ordering a pizza.
And when you're doing things properly, when you are going through the proper channels, which the Attorney General and his attorney Durham are doing, I believe, it's like he says, it's not like ordering something up on a schedule like a pizza that, you know, you can just get justice whenever you want it. If you do the proper things, unlike what Comey did, then it does take time because you want to make sure you do it properly.
Yeah.
But it does appear to me, when he says that it's an indication things are moving along at a proper pace, what he told Sean Hannity last night, that he's doing it properly and he's working towards real justice, not faux justice, like the people in the FBI prior did, James Comey, Peter Strzok, Lisa Page, that are the people that we're upset about with the way they handled things. We don't want it to be handled the way they handled it. We want it to be done properly.
Yeah. I'm trying to come up with a good pizza analogy, but I keep coming up with like brands. Like, I don't want to bury any brands on here. You're I want to make it like this kind of pizza.
Right.
Not this kind of pizza, Will. Because there's definitely a variance
you
in pizza.
You want like a brick oven pizza or like Chicago style that you get there and they're like, it's going to take you an hour and a half before you get it ready.
I need Stuhl Presidente to be out there and tell me this pizza is just fantastic.
It's a
beautiful
right.
pizza. Let's. I wonder what Bill Barr has on his pizza. We should ask him. Whenever we get to one-on-one.
What's your favorite pizza?
Yeah.
Right.
We'll find out.
You like pepperoni?
Oh, you asking me? Or are you asking him?
No, we'll ask him, but now that we're here, what is your favorite pizza?
This is when you see viewers drop. I like pepperoni. Yeah. Who doesn't? Number one topping across the nation.
I would agree with
that. It's a hot new trend.
Yeah, it's a good
one. Let's take another call before we go to break. Let's go to Mary Ellen in Illinois, because I want to talk to Mary Ellen in Illinois on line 5. Welcome to the show once again.
Oh, hey, Logan.
Hey.
I just want to first of all tell you, great show.
Thank you.
And you energize people like even me, seniors. So praise the Lord.
Thank you.
Okay. Just a quick comment and question. And based on what you were just saying, I understand clearly that they have to, before they go before a judge or a jury with the top people who are the orchestrators of everything, that they have to have a solid, you know, case.
Sure.
They're not going to go to court unless they can prove it. And these people under them will help prove it.
Absolutely.
So my question to you is, who did this Kleinschmidt report to, or who was the top guy at the chain of command over where he worked?
Well, at the end of the chain of command was James Comey. He was the director of the FBI. Another name you may be familiar with, Andrew McCabe. James Baker was the top lawyer at the FBI at the time. So
it's like the greatest hits.
All the names you're familiar with would have been superiors or supervisors to Kleinschmidt.
Yeah, directly, we probably have to do some more digging, but as you can see, as you get to the top, it's
but
like...
But he had enough authority to be signing off on some of these documents, so I don't think that this is small get.
He probably had a direct line there.
Right.
If there was a baseball card pack, he may be a rookie, but it's going to be worth some money someday.
There you go.
All right, well, give us a call when we get back. 1-800-684-3110. We're going to go to break here in just a minute. Support the work of the ACLJ. It is part of our matching challenge right now, still in the month of, what are we in, Will? It's hard to remember. We're in the month of August. That's right, it's matching challenge month. If you give $10, someone else on the other side says, I'm going to match that, give $10. 10 becomes 20, 20 becomes 40. I'm not really good after that. I didn't really do great on multiplication tables. You can figure it out. That's at ACLJ.org. We'll be right back.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
Logan Seculo sitting in for my dad and my brother. They're out on assignment. I like saying that, Will.
Out on assignment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But we're talking about this issue, Will, with the FBI lawyer pleading guilty to Durham investigation, old Kevin Klein Smith. Did a little editing of an email. Get himself in a little hot water. We got to be careful when you're sending stuff around. You never know.
If you get an email from the CIA, it's like, I feel like you've got to be pretty confident in what your end game is if you think that it's okay to alter that. And unfortunately for him, but fortunately for the American people, he's going to now be pleading guilty to one charge of falsifying a document. And remember, the FISA court was very upset with this, as they should be, because they were given information that was falsified. And they wrote a scathing order back to the FBI saying, you've got to list basically any other case that Klein Smith had worked on. And basically they had to account for all the information with not even just related to this investigation.
Right.
But they were very upset because, like you had said, you had a moment where you lost faith in some of the government institutions.
Yeah.
The FISA court, or the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Court, as it's formerly known, was very upset as well, and they kind of lost faith in some of the work product of the FBI themselves. So I think what we're going to end up seeing here is hopefully a lot of changes.
Yeah, and this
not
is going to take time
in the infrastructure of the FBI.
And, you know, Attorney General Barr really clearly laid out that it's going to take time. This isn't something, he's not a big man, he's not a man to rush.
Right.
Never watched any of the times he's been questioned or anything. He's got some good singers. He's got some great moments. This is not a man in a rush.
He's very calculated.
He's going to be calculated. He's going to take his time, make sure that the law is upheld properly. Well, yeah, Will.
I mean, I think we should play another bite from the Attorney General last night on Hannity, because he does show the importance that it's not just bringing people to justice as well of why this investigation is going on. We need to also fully understand what happened, because the FBI prior to this, and then
one have to do with pizza?
It does not.
As interested in this comment, but
this one specifically, because we know that the Mueller investigation, and we know that the FBI prior to Mueller weren't really giving us the full picture of what happened in 2016. So I think it's important that we hear this bite, because it shows the mindset of the Attorney General when he tasked Durham to do this investigation. Let's play bite two.
There are two different things going on, Sean. One, I've said that the American people need to know what actually happened. We need to get the story of what happened in 2016 and 17 now out. That will be done. The second aspect of this is, if people cross the line, if people involved in that activity violated the criminal law, they will be charged.
All right, let's. That was obviously Attorney General Barr. Made a pretty great statement there.
Right.
Let's jump to the phones. I want to hear from you. If you have a voice, I'd like to hear from you. 1-800-684-3110.
Yeah, let's go.
It's very broad.
Let's go to Tony.
I was, you know,
from Texas.
You know what I
meant.
You know what I meant. If you have a voice, call in. You know,
Tony,
you're
on
the air right now. Don't call in. I don't want any sick people. No, go ahead, Tony.
Thanks. Thanks for taking the call, guys. You know, today's development is very interesting, right? But in the grand scheme of things, does he have the ability? Definitively to do some sort of report when all of this is said and done?
So there's a lot of questions about this, about what is kind of, what will be the end,
what's the end
game of the Durham investigation. And what's different than the Inspector General, which the goal of an Inspector General's investigation is a report.
Yeah.
It's to say, here's what I've looked through.
Hope you
Here's
like
what's
it.
Been
you guys,
fine.
You guys make the calls.
Now you decide.
Right.
Like, it's just kind of laying out what you find.
Yeah.
The difference here is that U.S. Attorney Durham
can do some stuff.
He's the opposite.
Yeah.
His entire goal of doing an investigation is either to indict or not indict, essentially. Like, if you're looking through this investigation, is there going to be, are these crimes that are committed? And if they find them, He's able to use a grand jury, go through that process, and actually do charging. The big open question is, will there be some sort of report when he wraps up this investigation? Because typically, a U.S. attorney, they're not writing reports that become public that you see.
Right.
I think that if the investigation is finalized, like there's a bow put on it, it's all done, they're moving on to other things, I feel like there will be some sort of readout that the American people will get because it is such a high profile. This is just my speculation, though. I don't have inside knowledge to that. But I think the way that Attorney General Barr has been forthcoming so far with information, I think he will let us know this is concluded. This is what has been found. You've seen these indictments. And that we'll kind of get a wrap up to it, just because of how high profile and how much he's already let us know that's been going on.
We're gonna hit on some other topics here in the second half hour, Jay Sekulow Live. Larry brought up an interesting question. And Larry is on line three. I think we should take this because I think there's a whole idea. Usually in these election cycles, we always say elections have consequences. And Larry, I think you have a question related to that. Larry, South Carolina, hit me with it.
All right, thank you. My question is, if... God forbid, if Trump were to not win, would Durham and AG Barr's investigation basically be swept under the rug?
I mean, look, Larry, I think there's always a concern with that. Either way, whatever side you are on politically, that when the tides turn or the votes favor you and you become the not you or your side and they become president, that a lot of times these things do come to an end.
Right. If the president was no longer the president, then I don't assume that Joe Biden would keep Attorney General Barr on as his attorney general. So there would be a transition there. Not every U.S. attorney would be replaced. So Durham, he's a career U.S. attorney.
Yeah,
he's been around for a long time.
They're not just during an administration.
I do feel like the new attorney general, whoever that may be, would say, hey, let's prioritize you on other things, because I don't think that they really want to know what actually happened and find out the corruption that was in the FBI during the end of the Obama administration.
Yeah, it's sadly is a political thing. It's just the truth. So much of these things are used, like I said, election flips. And even though if there's corruption, even if there was law being broken, we saw, that's what I'm saying with the Hillary Clinton situation with James Comey. There are these moments you lose faith because you realize that they're not in the best interest of you as the American citizen. They're not in the best interest of you and your family, or even as making sure there's truth and freedom and justice in government. What they're doing is making sure they're towing their own party line. If you think about all of the issues we had with the previous administration's attorney generals, if you go back to Fast and Furious, you go back to Benghazi, imagine all of those things. Look, welcome back. I mean, those are the kind of things that will start to happen again. And yes, I think you're right. Sadly, Tony, I think you're right that though I believe there should always be justice on either sides, and we should always look into this, and it should not be something that is swept under the rug just because a presidential candidate flips. It's ridiculous. You know what? I got another half hour, and we're going to talk about some of these presidential candidates. We're going to talk about a vice presidential candidate you may have heard of, Kamala Harris. There's some really, really interesting stuff going around the internet. We're going to talk about that. But we're also going to talk about why there are real issues here. And you need to give us a call, 1-800-684-3110, 1-800-684-3110. Support the work of the ACLJ. If you don't get the second half hour of Jay Sekulow Live, join us over live right now on Facebook, or find us later on Logan Sekulow Reprogram. Be right back.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. And now your host, Logan Sekulow.
Welcome back to Logan Sekulow Reprogram Takeover of Jay Sekulow Live. Wrapping up our final day of doing this. We've had a lot of fun doing it. Make sure you tune in and listen to Will and I each and every day, Monday through Friday. You can find us on all your favorite podcast apps, or you can find us on YouTube. It's at youtube.com/Logan Sekulow Reprogram. And hey, I'm now on Parler, which I know a lot of you are on as well. We're posting clips from the show. I'll be talking to you guys on there. Find me on Parler. I think it's at system as well, like Twitter. I think it's at Logan Sekulow, or maybe just parlor.com/Logan Sekulow. If you're on Parler, you know how to find me. Just search for me. I'm there posting some really fun stuff. I'm not on Twitter, so you can find me on Parler.
You were banned, right?
Yeah. It's debatable. I have a verified account on Twitter. I quit Twitter, quit posting publicly about 2 years ago, and recently was no longer able to access even logging into my account. So you know what? And I quit because of the obvious reasons. A lot of you probably should quit too.
I think you're in the Jim Jordan club now, because
he quit.
He was shadow banned as well, I believe.
I don't know what happened there. There could have been legitimate reasons, but I can't get anyone on Twitter to respond. It's been like over a couple months now, at least a month.
You're probably too conservative, Logan.
I think they said maybe the issues they were having is that I wasn't active enough because I said I'm out. Maybe. Find me on Parler. You can find me there. Will, I wanted to talk about this, and we're going to head into the next segment and really, really start talking about it. There's been a lot of talk on social media, speaking of social media, about Kamala Harris, vice presidential nominee, senator. Here's the deal. A lot of you are being fed some really ridiculous things, and a lot of you are sharing some things that honestly are, I believe, missing the point. So greatly that you need to be careful. There is so much, like Will, we've talked about this, influence from other kinds of media, other kinds of
nations
that put stuff out there and don't buy into it. Don't follow the bait and take the bait. And if you're taking a bait that you think that the best possible response to, by the way, multiple pages of issues that I have with this vice presidential candidate, and you should as well, as a Christian probably, and as a conservative, you need to not just share that you think that this person should be disqualified because you heard a rumor about where maybe her parents were born or something like this. There are real problems. You should have real issues. And I'm going to help you go through those issues. And we're going to talk about them. And we're going to go through them. But what we're not going to do is share things that are... I mean, what do you think? Okay, let's say in your best case scenario, and if for some reason you believe this, that she is disqualified to be the vice presidential candidate, that you think the response then will be they're going to put in somebody for that vice presidential candidate you're really going to love? I don't know what the end game here. What you should be doing is sharing her actual statements and thoughts and views on the issues that matter to you the most. And there's a lot of them. And we're going to take those calls and comments about that. It's at 1-800-684-3110. I know that that's not going to make a lot of you happy. And I know some of you are going to say, Logan, yeah, you're falling for it. I think you may be falling for it if you're sharing those things. You may be falling for influence coming from others, because no one had. This is all. If you see something, by the way, that pops up and starts trending and you see memes start being shared, that had to start somewhere. And a lot of times that didn't start from the safest and the nicest of sources. Be careful not to fall into traps, especially during this political season. But we're going to talk about the real issues. We're going to do it here. And I want to hear your thoughts. It's at 1-800-684-3110. Put in your comments on Facebook or however you get this. Or if you're watching later on YouTube, put your comments in. I don't mind chatting it out with you. I just see the story brewing. And what you really need to do is look at the facts. We're going to dive into that. We're going to take some other calls too. We're going to keep it fun. We're going to keep it lighthearted. But we're also going to talk about how this candidate maybe has a 100% approval rating from Planned Parenthood and NARAL and all your favorite abortion providers. Is that something that maybe you should stand up and say that this is the problem? Because I think those are the problems that really we should be looking at. Again, Will, I didn't mean to grandstand. Be careful, okay? Just be careful out there, everybody. We'll be right back with more on the Logan Sekulow Reprogram.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Welcome back to the Logan Secular Reprogram Takeover, Jay Secular Live, wrapping up our Friday. Still got like 25 minutes left, don't worry. It's enough to rile you up, enough to get you going for the rest of the day. Head you into the weekend well. That's what we're going to do here. We do have some calls. We're going to take some of those a little bit later. Keep calling 1-800-684-3110. Will, I teased this a little bit, and maybe I was very specific.
I teased it by having a very well-articulated
monologue. Yeah. Four-minute monologue about, look, I've seen this happen now. My Facebook feed and my social media feed is filled with theories about Kamala Harris, mostly have to do with her parents and her country of origin and their country of origin and whether the woman was born in California. And if you thought did it work last time when you decided this was what we're going to do? No, that did not work. Okay. That, if anything, all you're doing is buying into another idea that is being perpetrated by people who, by the way, want, likely,
they want to cause division.
To cause division.
Right.
So let's talk about the real facts here. Unrefutable, undeniable stuff that they would even own up to, because to some people, these are all positives. I have pages and pages and pages of information, and it's not just a meme that's being shared around. It's not just I heard from a friend this, and this. No, these are facts. And if you are a true Christian conservative, or even just a Christian, there are things that maybe you should have a problem with voting for this candidate. I'm not saying you should who to vote for or what to vote for, but you may know we don't necessarily promote a lot of pro-abortion candidates. We don't promote a lot of pro-abortion issues. Well, let's just start with the number one thing that's on this list. 100% pro-abortion. Harris has maintained a 100% rating from the pro-abortion rights group NARAL and from Planned Parenthood. Okay, well, that should be enough for a lot of people to maybe go, well, that's something you share. Because listen, when you share one of these memes about someone's birth, do you think on the other side that you're going, someone's going, you know what? You got me. I'm going to lean to a more conservative candidate, maybe the libertarian candidate. I don't think so. No. That's not how this works. All you're doing is riling, again, as Will said, creating division, more division. But there are people, a lot of people, and to quote President Obama, people of goodwill, who do, it's an old clip, throwback.
Yeah, I was surprised you pulled that one out.
People who do disapprove of abortion, but may be a Democrat, may vote that way in the election, may be undecided, maybe a libertarian. A lot of libertarians are.
Well,
right.
What we saw in 2016 was a very unique year where the traditional party allegiance wasn't necessarily the way people voted. A lot of times when you get to a presidential year, you have the Republican bloc and you have the Democrat bloc, and you have a very small margin in the middle of swing voters, per se, that end up deciding the election. What we've heard over the last 4 years on this broadcast is many Democrats who have called in and said, I changed because of President Trump, and vice versa. You heard a lot of never Trumpers, so to speak, that were like, you know what, I'm doing something differently.
Yeah.
So do you think that the Democrats that decided to vote for Trump, what was their main thing? The issues. They liked that he was for the people, America first. So when you start to analyze this, if you're a person who is sharing something like that because you want to maybe change someone's mind, what typically gets to people's minds are like, hey, is this something you believe in? Is this something you're for or against? Not a theory that is pretty quickly discredited about someone's eligibility to run for office.
Yeah, it just comes off like you're making a statement based on some of the color of their skin. I mean, it just does. Whether you feel that way or not, it comes off that way. So why don't you take a second here. How about the second note I have on here? She's fought against religious liberty as California's attorney general and in the Senate. Why? Because she was California's attorney general and has been in the Senate. So she has a lot of record you can go through.
Compared to a lot of the people on the short list, she's got one of the more well-documented records because you can look at what she's voted on and you can look at what she's prosecuted as a prosecutor and as the attorney general, the investigations that she thought her state should get into, much like when we talk about Attorney General Barr earlier in the show, about he has the ability to task the U.S. Attorney Durham to do certain things because he's the attorney general. She was that role in California. And so when she was supportive of a California law that forced pro-life pregnancy centers to advertise for free abortion, and then what was the penalty within that law?
Yeah.
Big fines. So if you're an attorney general, you have the ability to say like, hey, I think my state attorneys, my district attorneys, local attorneys should maybe look in to see if these pregnancy centers are doing following the letter of the law. That's the type of thing an attorney general has the power to do. So you can look at this record and it's documented.
Let's go through some of it a little bit quicker. Let's say, okay, filed a brief with the Supreme Court asking to refuse the Hobby Lobby request, which we all know about that, providing essentially abortions to, they didn't want to provide abortion coverage in there.
It's a conscience protection case that we've been talking about conscience protections at the ACLJ for decades.
Let's move past the pro-life issues. How about, obviously she's opposed constitutional conservatives, which would just like, she was pretty adamantly against Kavanaugh and a lot of the other Supreme Court justices. A big one here is let's just hit some big ones. Second Amendment, she has earned an F rating from the NRA. So if you're a Second Amendment person, that's something maybe you should do. Yesterday, she made a statement about, look, I'm actually someone who is in support of wearing a mask. I am a mask person. I wear a mask whenever I go out right now. Right now. Do I believe there should be mandates for that? Not necessarily. She came out yesterday with Joe Biden and said that if they become the president and VP, they're going to be calling for a national mask mandate, where even if you are in rural, middle of nowhere, you know?
Yeah, they put out an ad today that said everyone should wear it when they go outside. So it's even their version of a mask mandate wouldn't be what you're seeing in a lot of areas like where we live, where there is a mask mandate if you are going into areas where you cannot be socially distanced, like inside a store, inside a restaurant, inside all these things. But if you're at a park walking around in the outdoors, or if you're going for a run, their ad today was saying that people should wear it when they go outside. That's a lot different than the mask mandates that localities are putting
interiors
in place that understand the difference and the nuance of your community. That's a big deal. And that's one of the reasons why we like on the right, why conservatives like giving more power to states, to individual localities, because they can make better decisions for their population. Right. Because rural Wyoming doesn't necessarily need, if you go outside.
You're 10 miles from another person, but yeah, you got to wear a mask. This is one that really struck me, and I pulled this quote from an article in, I think it was in Relevant Magazine, but it was from the Religious News Services. They note she often talks, sometimes has talked about her faith. She's grown up as a Baptist and also in other religions, but she made a statement about the parable of the Good Samaritan. And she said, you know, she learned that neighbor is not about having the same zip code. What we learn is that the parable is that the neighbor is someone you're walking by on the street. Neighbor is about understanding and living in the service of others. And then we're all each other's brothers and sisters. That sounds great. Why do you oppose school choice then if it's not about the zip code? Because how does she do on school choice? According to her, she opposes the amendment to create any tax benefits for tuition at K-12 private schools. She also criticized Trump's campaign to promise to divert public school funding to voucher programs. So for someone who's so love everyone, but everyone, but only based on where you live. Because if it's based on where you live, you should be getting the education based on where you live. And this is someone who has publicly come out very much against even her own running mate on these issues. But for some reason, that has become a talking point that I cannot get over or understand. How that in 2020, we still are dealing with the zip code situation. That your kid's education is bound by where they're born. It seems like the most un-American thing you can think of.
I can tell you why, though.
Okay, go ahead.
Because the teachers' union has given her a lifetime rating of 100%. And what have we been talking about on this broadcast and on the reprogram and on JSeculo Live for months now is that the teachers' unions are very teacher-centered, not student-centered. And that's what we need in our education system. That's why we have the School Choice Initiative at the ACLJ.
Yeah.
We want it to be student-focused. And we know her running mate, Joe Biden, has said he will be the most teacher-centric administration in history.
And we are creating new content and new things. I can't tell you just yet what we're doing. But if you like the School Choice Initiative, you like we're creating backstops and we're helping you out as a parent, as a young parent like Will and I are, to help you out, especially while a lot of kids are home right now. Regardless of who wins the election, it's not going to matter. You're going to see a lot of sweeping changes. But we're going to be there for you at the ACLJ, creating brand new content for you and your family and providing you with the information that you need. Support the work of the ACLJ at aclj.org. We'll be right back. We take a lot of phone calls in the next segment.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
To the final segment of the Logan Secular Reprogram Takeover of J Secular Life for the week. First, I want to look at all of you right down the lens if you're watching on Facebook, if you're watching on YouTube, if you're watching on Twitter, however you get the show, and say thank you. Thank you for putting up with my crazy for this last 3 or 4 days. I really appreciate it. I'd love to have you as a listener to my show as well. It's the Logan Secular Reprogram. Will and I do it each and every day, Monday through Friday. We release a show in the afternoon. It's available on Spotify. It's available on Apple Podcast. We are on some radio markets. We're on in Orlando, and we're also on once a week on Long Island. We're going to be hopefully adding more radio stations as well. And then you can watch us on YouTube. That's, again, at youtube.com/LoganSeculoReprogram.
You want to take some calls, Logan?
I do want to take some calls, and I want to hear some more of your voices. Anyone with a voice, as I said, 1-800-684-3110. Let's go first. Let's take on line one. This is about the topics that we started with, but I think you've been on hold for so long. I appreciate it. Is it Lewis in Colorado?
Yes, it is.
Thanks. Sorry about that. I'm sorry. We diverted off and I lost track of time, but thanks for holding.
Well, I sent in my donation already. So
thank you. Really appreciate it.
I want to know, do you think that someone would pit Sally Yates against Peter Strzok? When Strzok said it was Biden who brought up the Logan Act and Sally Yates said it was Comey, do you think Durham or Lindsey Graham will bring those two and find out who's telling the truth and who's lying?
Good, you know, TV.
I think that's one of the reasons that Senator Graham, Chairman Graham of the Senate Judiciary Committee, is holding those hearings, is that they're not holding the hearings just because they want to hear from Sally Yates for 55 hours or however long it actually took, but it's because they have a lot of information. This isn't a new story to us. We've been following this very closely for 4 years almost now. And I think that they had Sally Yates before the Senate Judiciary Committee specifically for purposes like that. When you have the handwritten notes from Peter Strzok that came out that said that it was Vice President Biden who raised the question of the Logan Act, but then you have Sally Yates.
I feel attacked every time you say the Logan Act. I'll be honest.
Well, you know, maybe you should get something changed, Logan. Yeah, start a petition. Like, let's at least change the name. Like, a lot of people say it's unconstitutional, but can we start with the name?
Yeah, can I get an act something that's different? Like a little bit more positive? I don't know. Something to do.
Has to do with, like, establishing the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in a different state or something. I don't know. Yeah. Something
Why
more
is
you.
It in Ohio?
Right.
I don't know.
Yeah, but back to Lewis's question. I think that is, one, the explicit purpose of Chairman Graham is that he's trying to rectify these competing storylines that we're hearing. And then on top of that, I think the importance of the move with Clientsmith being coming to a plea deal, essentially, it shows that people like him may be telling a lot more of the story that we aren't privy to, that we don't know yet. And that's why it's an important development today.
Speaking of developments, hey, this is being covered right now in the news. Former presidential, Democratic presidential candidate.
Nominee, right? Yeah.
Senator. First Lady. Hillary Clinton, she just suggested she'd be willing to serve in the Biden administration if called up. She said, I'm ready to help in any way I can.
Yeah.
There you go. Just going to leave that.
I'm going to be Secretary of State again. You know, more.
Just going to put that out there for you.
Uranium One.
You do whatever you want to do with that information. I just wanted you to know. Let's go. Let's go back to the phone calls. Let's go to Lynette in New York. Lynette, welcome to the show. And hey, if you want to get on the show, you got about 4 minutes, not even 2 minutes, I'd say, to call in. 1-800-684-3110. Lynette, welcome.
Thank you so much for taking my call, Logan. And God bless you and all of your staff there. It's a wonderful show.
Thank you.
And I am personally enjoying, since I've been following your father's work for decades, and then usually see your brother, I'm enjoying all of this time with specifically. So you're doing a great job.
I
wanted to say that along with all of the other concerns that you have mentioned regarding Senator Harris. My concern is that you haven't specifically mentioned yet is the way that she treated Brett Kavanaugh during the hearings. You mentioned the Brett Kavanaugh hearings, but
yeah. I think you're right. Yeah, the content of her questions.
Yes, that the mean the meanness of it and the fact that she was part of a coordinated effort to simply block him from getting to that next level of becoming Supreme Court justice, not on the basis of anything that he had actually already written. Here was a person who I think, if I'm not mistaken, the first time in the history of the country that amount of his work had actually preceded him to the court, in the sense that his opinions had already been used.
He was a well-qualified guy. I think a lot of people definitely saw that. And, you know, you look at the way people treat the situations like that, and you do it to the, okay, well, what does that mean? Not only for Supreme Court choices, which I think it's pretty clear the kind of justices that may be selected under a Biden-Harris administration, or what could be, let's just be honest, a Harris administration at some point, that when you look at the way she treated Brett Kavanaugh, look what treated anybody in those situations, not being recorded. I mean, you don't look, this is not a Lindsey Graham in this situation, who's sort of the gold standard of putting aside personal and really just saying, is this person qualified, regardless of political affiliation?
For better or for worse.
For better or for worse. Oh, yeah.
Right.
Sometimes he's approved people who you probably wouldn't care for, but he believes in that system that way. This is not that person.
But back to Lynette's call, I feel like that moment, the Kavanaugh hearings, were when we saw three people who ran failed presidential campaigns tried to hijack that hearing to raise their stakes for running for president on the left. And that was Kamala Harris, Cory Booker, who had his famous Spartacus moment, and Amy Klobuchar. The three senators, they all three went on to run for president, and they raised their profile through that hearing by having these very grandstanding moments with the nominee for the Supreme Court. And I think it was just a foretelling of what we were going to see coming when they ran for president. And now all three of them had failed presidential campaigns. But back to Lynette, is that that's going to stick in people's mind, not only on the left, who they were trying to cater to, but on the right, who saw that and be like, I see through this. I see what you're trying to do here.
I do have to straighten something up here, Will.
Yeah.
As we wrap up the show. There are some people who are watching right now. If you're not looking at me, by the way, I don't necessarily dress like a lawyer because I'm not a lawyer. I went to film school and entertainment business school. I'm not.
It'd be a very interesting lawyer who your clients would be.
Some people,
like that.
Because my voice and my brother's sounds fairly similar, have been concerned that something happened to Jordan and that he went away and came back after a week, came back bearded in a headband and a t-shirt
and a wrestling
and abandoned
t-shirt.
Abandoned his look. Yeah, his favorite Corey Hollis t-shirt. No, that is my brother that you're thinking of, Jordan. My dad and brother will be back next week, so don't worry. If you thought this show was a little bit different than what you usually expected the last 25 years, don't worry, they'll be back Monday. Hopefully we get to do this some more, though, Will.
We'll see. I'd like to.
We'll see if we get invited back. You can join us, though, each and every day on Logan Secular Reprogram, your favorite podcast app, again on and also on YouTube, and maybe your favorite radio station. If you're listening right now on your local radio station and you want to pick up the reprogram, give us a call. And hey, support the work of the ACLJ. And if you see a storm of brewing in your life, don't worry. Give it 15 minutes because it'll pass.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.